You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com. Happy Father's Day. Great to see everybody.
Happy birthday.
Oh, that's bad. Somebody's in trouble later. That's very kind. Thank you. Thank you. I'm grateful to have a birthday. It's Father's Day. It's great to be here with all of you. We're going to dig right in. Ezekiel chapter 37, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Audience participation, part of the program. Are you ready? If you would, please stand up. I would love for you right now to separate from whomever you're sitting with and find a new place in the sanctuary to sit. That's fine. All right, how's that feel? Some of you all, especially the dads, you're not very happy with me right now. You came here to be with your family. I want to apologize for that, but it has a point to it. It's uncomfortable, yeah? Yeah, I mean, some of you, you've been in the sanctuary for years. You've sat in the same pew. In fact, when there's somebody who sits in your pew, you all go, you're in my pew. Now, we're a church that loves well. We'll love you well till you sit in my seat. Yeah, I mean, you know, we go through life like this. The same routines, sitting in the same places, doing the same thing in the same way every day. Are you, yes? And the minute that we get stretched and we're asked to go to a place that we weren't expecting, or we're asked to do something that we're uncomfortable with, well, then all of a sudden it's, I mean, today you expected you'd come here, you'd hang out with your family, and now the pastor ruined everything. So, happy Father's Day. And I think that's how we go through life sometimes. Medically speaking, we're alive. Our brains are working, our hearts are pumping, our lungs are functioning, there's breath going in and out of them. Medically speaking, we're alive, but living, let me tell you something, is radically different. Are you with me this morning? There's a difference between being alive and living, and much of the world that we live in functions in this kind of way. It's very much functions on the premise, well, how do you live longer? How can you be alive longer? That's part of what the medical community gives us. And let me be sure to say it, it's a great gift. But there's a difference between being alive and living. The minute sometimes we're asked to step outside of our comfort zone, what feels uncomfortable, what doesn't feel good, what I'm not used to, what stretches me beyond what I know, it feels like an exile. And in so many different ways, that's what you're feeling this morning, is an exile of sorts. You got moved from your normal place with the people that you want to be with, and now you've been put in an uncomfortable situation. And given that's where you're at, you know a little bit of what the people in the days of Ezekiel felt like. They experienced an exile. And what we might say about the people living in the days of Ezekiel is they had experienced a life in which they were alive for quite some time. In fact, for about the first 24 chapters of the book of Ezekiel, it tells the story of a people who were alive but didn't know how to live. Yes, their brains were working and their hearts were pumping blood and their lungs were breathing oxygen and they were alive and they were in the same patterns and rhythms and what was comfortable and what felt good and what seemed right to the people around them. And yet when it came to being living people, living for God, on a day-to-day basis, they weren't living at all. In fact, they were dead. What we might say about the first 24 chapters of the book of Ezekiel is it's a story of a people who are physically alive but spiritually dead. And so one of the most haunting visions in all of the Old Testament comes to pass, that the Spirit of God leaves the temple, leaves the people, ascends into the heavens, and then all of a sudden the people are there left alone. Sure, they're alive, but they're not living, and it's not too long that the Babylonians show up on their front door and they huff and they puff and they blow their house down. The temple is ransacked, the people are destroyed. The walls of Jerusalem are broken down and they're exiled 1,000 miles away to this new place in which they are alive and they're experiencing life like you right now. They're a little bit mad. Why did it come to this? Why did I come today? Why am I stuck in a place that I didn't want to be around people who seem very nice, but I really don't want to be with? I want to be with my own people. Eating foods that they didn't want to eat because it's not comfortable and it's not normal and it's not part of their rhythm or their routine. They're alive, but they're very much spiritually dead. And they were sitting and waiting in the midst of an exile for restoration. In fact, the great Psalm 137, man, if you ever are mad, that's one to read. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept. And by the end of it, they say, happy is the one who dashes your infants against the rocks. That's how they felt. And you all have felt that way too. They just happen to wear orange when you play them. Amen. And so God gives Ezekiel, this prophet, this one who speaks for God, and I'm sorry to the Tennessee fans this morning. This prophet, this one who speaks for God, one who is a son of man, he takes him and shows him a vision of a valley of lots of bones. The bones, of course, are about death and despair. It's the opposite of life. You see, the bones that we have in our bodies are meant to be the framework, the housing for having the Spirit of God living within us. This is how it's supposed to work. It's the Spirit that helps us live. The bones are alive, but the Spirit helps us live. And so these bones, which are supposed to be about life and encasing that which is living, become a symbol of death. And God speaks to Ezekiel. Son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel dares to say, O Lord God, you know. You know, God. I don't know, but you know. Ezekiel, do you believe in my power to restore, to redeem, to make new, to win back the lost, to raise that which is dead? And Ezekiel dares to say, you know, Lord. I see hopelessness, but you know. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, this morning, do you believe in God's power to restore? Now, see, that's what's funny. Because when it comes to the latest game that's on TV, you'll yell at the TV 10 times louder than you just said. You'll go down to Rupp Arena and the game hadn't even started yet, and you'll yell louder for the team or against the referee or against the other team that's there to play. Or when it's Sunday afternoon and you go and watch the latest NFL game, I mean, we'll just scream our heads off. But when it comes to do we really believe in God's power to restore, to redeem, to renew, to raise that which is dead to new life, we go, We're 8 weeks out from Easter, and I love Easter Sunday. Oh. People ask, well, what's your favorite Sunday of the year? It's always Easter. I mean, Christmas Eve is cool, don't get me wrong, but I love Easter. It's my favorite day. It's the day that we remember that God can do all things. It's the day that we remember that our Lord and Savior was raised from the dead and we're forgiven of sins and given new life and eternal life to come. I mean, that's what it's all about. Easter, I live for that day every year. And it's fantastic because people come in and they got all their fancy stuff on and they're all excited and Jesus is risen and we blow it out bigger than a Texas hair salon in here. People love it. I mean, by the time I go home, I take a 2-hour nap because I'm exhausted. It's the greatest. And then we get 8 weeks down the road, and we go, do we believe in God's power to redeem and restore and make new and raise that which is dead to new life? Yeah, okay, well, we're getting there. We're getting there. Are we going to do the Cracker Barrel today or what? And then we talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, it's Pentecost Sunday. I don't know about that Holy Spirit stuff. Because, you know, doesn't people fall down or they might speak in tongues or, you know, Gil Rouse has been keeping a box of snakes in the back for us for a little while. I don't know about that Holy Spirit stuff. Holy Spirit might take over. That is very, very uncomfortable. That's worse than you making me move pews. And I'm still mad at you for that today, preacher. We're not that kind of church. And yet, ironically, nothing could be further from the truth. We are that church, Methodist people. It's part of our story. You know, when John Wesley's heart was warmed, he started off as a pastor who was alive. You know, he made the walk and he did Oxford and all this kind of stuff and he went through all the rhythms, but man, there wasn't a whole lot of spark. He was alive, but he wasn't living. And then all of a sudden, in 1738, this guy gets together with a group of other people, and they start studying the scriptures and praying, and his heart is strangely warmed. And that doesn't mean that he needed Tums or Rolaids that night. It meant that the Spirit had come and descended upon him and made him a living preacher who was out to change the world with a new movement. The people in the churches, they didn't like it. So he went out and found the masses out in the fields and the streets and everywhere else. And he preached on the top of his daddy's tombstone because they kicked him out of the church. And the movement caught fire, not just in England, but in the United States as well. This is a picture of one of the early Methodist revivals. And there were camp meetings, which would go on for days in states like Kentucky and Tennessee and Virginia. People would come and camp out to hear the word proclaimed, to feel the Spirit move among the people, and to take the same movement back into their local areas which were just forming. We are that Spirit-filled movement, friends. But we have to ask ourselves, are we alive or are we living? It's been a question that's present really throughout all of creation. In fact, in the beginning, notice that creation is alive, but it's not living. In fact, it starts off like this. The earth, which God created, is without form, and void, and darkness is over the face of the deep, but the Spirit of God is hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit is getting ready to move, and then all of a sudden the words are spoken, "Let there be light," and the thing comes to life. It's living. The same thing happens in the second chapter of the book of Genesis. And then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He made him with a skeleton and sinews and skin, and he stood there lifeless. It was not until the Spirit of God entered into the man's nostrils that the man became what? He was alive, but now he's living. And the same thing in the book of Ezekiel this morning. "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and there was a sound, and there was rattling, and the bones came together." Dim bones, dim bones. Cheryl would do way better with that than I would. "And there was sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was
no breath.
Alive, but not living. Here's some truth for you today. How often do we miss the fact that God wants to use us as the very agents to bring that which is dead to life? That's exactly what happens in Ezekiel's life. The bones are alive, and yet it's God who says, "Prophesy, Ezekiel. Speak it forth. Speak it into existence. Be my mouthpiece. Speak for me. Ask the Spirit to move. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. There's a difference between being alive and living. And sometimes we miss the fact that God wants to use us to bring that which is dead to new life. And the minute we're required to take a stand on biblical principles or to pray for something that's out of our reach or beyond our control, we go, "I don't know about that. That's really uncomfortable. I don't like that. I'm not sure I can do that. Can we have a class on that for about 6 years first? I don't have the training. I don't feel called. I'm not sure that's me. I took a spiritual gifts test, and that's not me. That's somebody else." That's too hard. I think God knows this. It's why he says to Ezekiel, "These bones, this valley, it's the whole house of Israel, and they say our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we're cut off." Sometimes that's us, isn't it? God can't do that. I mean, this is the world. A world whose hope is whatever happens in the next 5 minutes. And God's word to Ezekiel is, "Look, dude, we're all a pile of dry bones out here. People are saying our hope is gone and we're cut off. The preacher made me change seats today. This is not good. How do we reach them? I don't know about that. Can I just stay home and watch church online today? I don't want to do this." Question for us, brothers and sisters. Are we living or are we just alive? See, because if we're living, we believe that God can turn places of spiritual drought and famine and poverty into some of the most fertile experiences of our lives. That God can find that which is lost. That God can redeem that which is broken and restore it and renew it. That which is dead, he can raise and bring new life. And that the least likely places, the least likely people, the folks who have been forgotten, the people who wonder, "Where is God and why is our hope cut off?" Those are the people that God wants to work in their lives most. See, here's the thing, friends. We need more of the Holy Spirit's power. Power to speak the truth, the life, and the power of God into a broken world. But until we're living, until we've been living with the Spirit, living with the Spirit in us, everything else just feels uncomfortable. I was reminded of this past week. We had such a good annual conference, friends. Our associate pastor, Matt Penny, our chaplain, Francis Cadle, they were ordained. We celebrated the work. Yes, this is good. Bishop Kenneth Levingston preached a dynamite sermon. We had a missionary come and preach for missions night. I mean, Spirit-filled kind of worship. Paul Schaefer, who's part of our 9:30 worship gathering, he brought sacred space and prayer stations for pastors and people attending annual conference to engage in. We had four people from St. Luke get elected to go to general conference. We celebrate. Hey, that's good too. We celebrated the work of Reverend Dr. Mike Powers and Dr. Sherry Powers in forming this annual conference, this Mid-South annual conference we're part of. But my favorite moment of the entire week was I took the laity to a motorcycle bar. Just bear with me a minute here. So, have you ever gone on Google and you're not from the area, so you decide, I'm going to look up the nearest restaurants that are around? And I don't know how that works for you all, but this is how it works for me. I look for the restaurants that are like 4.5 stars and above. Because you know they're going to be good, right? I mean, who cares where they are? It's going to be an adventure. Like, let's go. So I found this place, and it was 4.8 stars. Who's not going to that? I mean, you can go places sometimes. If all they got is 3 stars, okay, well, I got to do what I can do, and I'm going to pray I don't get killed with E. coli that day. But, I mean, 4.8 stars. So I send it to the folks, and we get there, and it's a motorcycle bar. No idea. Fantastic. Poor Eastburn's eyes were this big. And they thought, where did our pastor take us today? This is crazy. We're in the middle of a motorcycle. And we walk in, right? We got all of our church clothes on, the little lanyard that says your name and everything. I mean, and it talk about out of place. It's like, hey, man, how's everybody going? And then, you know, everybody around us is staring at us, and it's awesome. And we start sharing what's happening at conference and sharing what's happening in our lives, and we pray, and it reminds me of this central truth, that when the Spirit of God invades even the deadest of places, God makes that which is dead come to new life. I mean, there was enough liquor in there to kill half the world, I'm telling you what. But when God invades the broken, hurting, 100-decibel-filled motorcycle tailpipe kind of joints, anything is possible. Here's the thing, friends. I find this to be a truly amazing time for life in the kingdom. We are at the precipice of AI taking over the world, wars and rumors of wars, the church that has very little idea of how to reach Gen Z or Gen Alpha, and a church that has become invaded with hyper-individualism, narcissism, and moralistic therapeutic deism, which basically says, I'm good, you're good, and if it's not too much trouble, do something nice for somebody today. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's going to get uncomfortable. And if the Spirit of God is going to be at work in your life and in the life of the church, we got to realize that the mission is bigger than what we can manage. And the only way to get there is to pray for the Holy Spirit to come, to fill His people, to fill His church, and to begin to use us in a radically different way. I can't promise you that's going to be easy, but I can tell you this, I'm excited. And I can tell you this, don't get used to these pews, because we're running out of room, and at some point we're going to get rid of them. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. The church is supposed to grow and be filled and bring in new people, people who are hurting, people who are broken, so they can be filled with the Spirit of God and know the power of Jesus' redemption, which is available and made manifest to them. That's our mission. Our mission's not our comfort. I found the greatest moments of ministry and the greatest moments of my life are when it hurt like hell. And I said, boy, you know what? This stinks, God, but I know that you're in it. Good days are coming. So on this Father's Day, I simply ask you this. Men of God, will you live again?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Women of God, will you live again?
Yes.
The gals just smoked you, guys. Come on, men of God, it's Father's Day. You'll get a second time. Will you live again?
Yes.
Church, will we live again?
Yes.
We're not in it for half salvation. We're in it for full salvation. God's up to something good. I would love for you to be reunited with those you sat with. That's going to be fun to watch here in about 10 seconds. And then we're going to pray, and then Miss Cheryl's going to sing for us. So go find your loved ones. Let's reunite. You can. All right, find your loved ones. Have a seat with them.
I just heard your voice today for the first time since I know you. I didn't mean to interrupt.
You're good.
Maybe I'll show it to you afterwards. I can hear everything's going on.
That's a win. I want you to do me a favor. Join hands, put your hand on a shoulder of those around you, those you came with. And let's pray. God, we thank you. And we realize there's a difference between being alive and living. We realize, God, that sometimes we can go through the motions. We realize, God, that sometimes we just do that which is comfortable or popular or easy. And what the scriptures today call us to is something more. So Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come. Come and invade this church. Come and fill those who are sitting in these pews. Come and change our families. Come and heal our hearts. Come and transform our lives. Make us to be alive and living with you. We give you all of the honor and all of the glory and all of the praise because you are worthy. Holy Spirit, have your way in the life of this community. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.